titled this sermon, How Will Your Story Be Written? And I appreciate the Lord breaking in on our services. How many know it belongs to Him anyway? Amen. Amen. And just kind of confirming in my heart some of the things that maybe I'm going to share here today. As we, if you've read Luke and John, the Gospels, you will see that Jesus was preempting the coming of the Holy Spirit before His crucifixion and after His resurrection. He kind of began to emphasize the importance of the need of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we see the book of Acts, we sometimes in your Bibles, some of them have labeled them the Acts of the Apostles, but the truth is it is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit working through the apostles and those that He chose to use. And today, one of the responsibilities that the Holy Spirit, Jesus told us, was one of His responsibilities, was He would guide us into all truth. And today, we are either living the truth or we're living a lie. That's kind of blunt, but it's one or the other. We're either living it out or we're deceived and we've created a fabrication of what Christianity is all about. But today, I want to challenge you that God wants to write your story. It's better than the story that we can write. Some of us can look back on our lives, the choices we've made, the things that we tried to accomplish in our flesh. And some of us can look back with some sorrow and with some regrets. And today, I want to tell you that even from this moment on, we can rewrite the story and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do a great work within our lives. So I want to begin today by just talking, defining the word truth. And we don't have dictionaries anymore. You ever? But I went online to kind of see what the definition of truth was. And it said this, that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. And so that's kind of scary these days because we have seen the truth being distorted in so many ways. And we know that the devil is the author of confusion. And so, yes, he is also the father of lies, but we know that that's the world he lives in, and we see it in the highest parts of our government with those that we kind of look up and have put on pedestals. We see the confusion, how the devil has twisted the truth in the minds and hearts of these individuals. And I believe this is the expectation of God that we not only walk in the truth, but we live in the truth, but we also walk in the truth. We are called to walk in the truth, church. And the truth is, it is not a standard of do's and don'ts, but it is a freedom to be who God created us to be. And that's a song we sang, freedom. And so that's what God has called you to be, is free, not bound by the things of this world, not by what our political culture is saying we are and what we should believe. We are free in Jesus Christ. So walk in that freedom today, church. We're not called to live a lie. We are not called to live below our potential. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the words of Jesus Christ. That's what He said. He will come and He will remind you of the things that I have taught you. So throughout the book of Acts, we will see the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of people. We see He does many different things. He convicts them. How many know without conviction, you wouldn't be sitting here today calling Jesus Lord of your life? He has brought a revelation to our minds that we need Jesus. He has called us by grace to be saved, to become children of God, new creations, to be born again. He has come to fill us. He has come to abide within us, become one with us. He has anointed us, separating us from the world and unto the ministry that Jesus Christ has called each one of us. He has empowered us, what, to be witnesses with miraculous power. That's what He's called us to do. He's empowered us. He divinely protects us. How many know we're in the palm of His hand? He knows everything we're going through. Sometimes we wonder, but He is protecting us divinely. He guides us with knowledge and wisdom and direction in our life. And one of the most important things is He speaks to us. He communes with us. He talks. I don't know how many of us have ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. We know it through conviction, maybe thoughts in our mind. But I don't know if you've ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But we know that He does speak, just like the Father speaks, just like the Son speaks. The Holy Spirit desires to speak into our life, to have communion with us, and to continually lead us on. And if you look through the book of Acts, you will see the stories of basically two individuals. And they are who? Paul? How about Peter, right? So the book of Acts is basically written around and telling the story of two individuals, two people who experienced salvation. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Their life was transformed, and God placed them on a mission. And so if you would look at the book of Acts, and I'm not going to begin at chapter 1, verse 1, and start reading. But if you look at these chapters, you will see that as you go through here, you see Peter in the first chapter being a leader, stepping up to the plate and beginning to do church business. In chapter 2, we see Peter preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as the baptism of the Holy Spirit has fallen upon those individuals, and we see him preaching a sermon and the church being born. In chapter 3, are you ready? Are you following me? I'm not going to go through all of these, but chapter 3, we see Peter and John, what? Healing a lame man. We see in chapter 4, standing before the Sanhedrin. And how many know that the Bible promises us that when we stand before the government, when we stand before kings, what? We don't have to prepare ahead of time what to say, but the Spirit of God will give us what to say in that moment and in that time. And so we see in all these things that the Holy Spirit is beginning to unfold himself in the ministries of the early church. In chapter 5, we see the story. We talked about this the other day, Ananias and Sapphira. We see him bringing judgment to the church. We see the Holy Spirit bringing qualifications to the deacons. We see in chapter 6. We see Stephen in chapter 7. We see Philip in chapter 8 in the great work there in Samaria, and the Holy Spirit working there, and him being translated. You remember that story? So a lot of cool things are happening. And then Paul comes in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and we see that Paul is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit there in 9. We go back to Peter in chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12, as we see the unfolding of his ministry as the Gentile church begins to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. We see Peter escaping prison. We see in chapter 13, the beginning of Paul's ministry there through chapter 28. And you guys are all excited and you're pumped. And woo, man, they can't wait for more. But we see from 13 to 28 the ministry of Paul. And we see the Holy Spirit doing incredible things through the ministry of Paul. From the preaching of the word, from incredible miracles to being delivered from a prison cell in the middle of the night. We see people, him laying hands on people, being healed, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We also see the Holy Spirit warning the early church that where Paul's destiny lies. As people begin to prophesy and say, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. And so Paul says, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, yes, I'm willing and ready to go. But we also see Paul, as he goes back to Jerusalem, he's arrested, stands before Felix, Festus, Agrippa. We see the story in chapter 27 of the great shipwreck and Paul's life and all those sailors being saved. And of course, these are great stories. But guess what? They're not our stories. It's their stories. And so we see in the book of Acts some very exciting times in the lives of these individuals. Some great, wonderful things that are taking place. So the Holy Spirit worked in the lives of the two people found in the book of Acts. And Paul's recording these things for us to read today. But what I want to come to the place today is for you to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to be the author of your life as well. And I believe there is some exciting, exhilarating days ahead of us as believers today. And I believe that we have kind of missed out on some of the excitement of walking in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit and being guided by the Holy Spirit. I believe as we walk in the Holy Spirit is the most fulfilling thing that you will ever experience in your life. And yet we are still searching, we're still hungering for something more, more, more when He's already provided it for us. And I believe that's available for you here today. I believe as we look at our lives as we are getting a little older, as we look back, would you consider your life successful? Would you, as you stand before the Lord, will you hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I think those are things that we want to hear. But I believe we want to look back on our lives with no regrets, that we have followed Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. I believe that maybe we are lacking maybe in some of those areas, but I believe that we can turn that around, and I believe that we can move forward from this day forward and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to rewrite the story of our lives. We can either let Him do it, or we can choose today to be the author of our own story, which some of us have been pretty good at doing. We have rolled the dice. We have taken our chances. We have made our own choices. And we have picked and choosed through our years on what we want to live out through the Bible, as the Bible tells us how to live. Sometimes we pick and choose what we want to believe and how we want to live that out. But there are no guarantees. How many know that the promises of God will be active in our life, that we will experience the presence of God in our lives? When we make our own choices, what we do is we quench the Spirit of God in our lives. So at the end of the life, you may join the choir and sing as Frank Sinatra did, saying, "I did it my way." And let me just ask you here, how's that going for you? How's that going? Our lives are lived between two bookends, and life and death. Ecclesiastes tells you there's a season for everything, isn't there? We didn't have a choice coming into this life, and guess what? You're not going to have a choice going out of this life. Birth is the beginning, death is the end, and we exist somewhere in between there. And one of the things that Revelation tells us is that when we stand before God, there will be not just the book of life, but there will be books. It says the books will be open and our lives will be judged by the things that we have done. So I don't know how thick my book's going to be, or if it's multiple books, or if he could just fit it into a kid's book. I don't know. But we're all, our lives are a book, man. God is recording it whether you like it or not. He doesn't have a computer. He has books. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, I believe our lives are ordained. I believe that we are special. Can you turn to the person next to him and say, "You're special"? Right? You're special. In verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who what? Did receive him, and those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." So we are children of God if what? We receive him and we believe in his name. And verse 13 says that we are children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And I believe that is the desire of God, is that every man experience being born again, that they are saved and they become a child of the living God. I like a phrase that I heard many years ago. Benjamin Franklin said this. He made this observation. He said, "Some people die at 25 and aren't buried until 75. That'll preach, won't it? The truth is, people often live two separate lives. They live the one they want, and then they live the Christian life. And a lot of times, they don't intermix. They don't coincide in every area of our lives. And we were going through some demographics that we received from the district office concerning our area. And I kind of think I told you wrong on this. And it talks about church preference is one of the areas. Demographics is basically explaining the people that live in your area, what they're like, how much they make, you know, their family size, their income, and what they believe, all that kind of stuff. And it says there in the church preference, it says this about our area, about the Emlinton area. Do people go to church for spiritual development? Personal development? Are they involved in the church to become involved in community social services? And then the last one is recreation. So I kind of thought at first it meant, you know, the fellowship aspect of it. But I got to thinking about it as I was working through this. It has nothing to do with it at all. It's kind of like we treat church like a recreation. Ouch. It's just another thing that we do. That's painful. And that's where our area has the largest demographic in. That's something for us to think about here today. I believe all of us want to leave a mark on the world some way, somehow. And you can disagree with that. But I just encourage you, if that's not the way, don't have a gravestone. Throw away all your pictures, the plaques, the certificates, the trophies. And even in churches, what do? We buy something, then what do? We put a name on it. Right? We all want to leave our mark on the world. What is sad is that we remember events better than we do the people that are involved in those events. And we can talk about a lot of heroic things that have taken place just even in our lifetimes, those individuals, those events that have taken place. We can pinpoint them on a historical map, but what we can't do is name the ones who were involved. Horrendous things have happened. We lived through 9/11. You remember where you were when you heard about 9/11, right? But do you know the pilots? Do you know the names of the ones who did it? No, we don't. But we remember that incident. We can remember great achievements in medicines and physics and academics, even sports. Don't yell it out, but how many remember who won the Super Bowl last year? Right? The World Series. Who won the World Series last year? I mean, these are achievements, these are accomplishments that we applaud, that we look at as some great feat, but yet we don't even remember who did it. I like Moses. He kind of wrote his own memorial. And he said, Moses was the humblest man in the world. How do you like that? He's very humble, right? Ecclesiastes 9:15 is kind of, I think, where we most of us kind of fall into. It says, now there lived in the city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered that poor man. They might have remembered the city being saved, but they didn't remember the guy who was the solution, the one who caused it to happen. So we're talking about writing a story here today. And the book of Acts narrows its focus down to a small number of individuals. More was going on during that time than just what we read in the book of Acts. There was other apostles, there was other disciples. God was doing all kinds of things through all different kind of people. But Luke is the writer here, and he's the one who's writing this story, and he's just hitting the highlights. And I don't know if you're a reader or not, but there's nothing worse than reading a story where there's too many characters. And you get bogged down in, okay, now who's this guy? Who's she? And I'm a mystery. I like Agatha Christie. I'm a Louis L'Amour individual. I like my Westerns. And sometimes Agatha Christie, in the front of her book, she'll list the name of the characters who are in her story. And as I'm reading through there, sometimes I have to go, now who's this? And I have to go back to the front of the book to figure out who that individual is. But Luke is writing here, and he's narrowed it down to Peter and to Paul. And he wrote in Acts chapter 1, he's writing to an individual, Theophilus. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, which is the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Aren't you glad that the Gospels are just about one man, Jesus Christ? Verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Something that's interesting there is if you read that line, after giving instructions through who? The Holy Spirit. Okay, the importance of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is writing our story here today. And so Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was speaking to his disciples. So as we look here, we see in the Gospel of Luke, we see a research project going on. He was not present when all these things went on. He had to do some research. He had to talk to those that were present at the moment. How do you know that? How did Luke understand the beginning of Jesus' life there in Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph? No doubt he probably went to the source. He probably went to the mother of Jesus, Mary herself. It was a research project. That's what the Gospels is all about. But the book of Acts is a recording of events. He is present. I don't know where he's at in the life of Peter. I don't know how well he knew Peter, but no doubt he had a personal interaction with Peter and those that were close to him, and he could record those events. But when we see the Acts of Paul, we know that he was present in the ministry of Paul. He traveled with Paul. Not all the time, but you'll notice there that the pronouns change when he's talking and he's writing about Paul. Sometimes he talks about them, and then sometimes he'll mention the fact that we, meaning that he was present at the time, and he is recording this story. And likewise, I believe there are many chapters to our lives being compelled at the same time. They're being compressed, they're being compiled, they're being put together. You have different aspects of your life. Like an author compiling notes and arranging thoughts of the many different departments of our lives, it's being weaved into one story here today. Our story is made up of many parts. You have where you got educated, where you didn't get educated. Yeah, life experiences, what you did, what you went through. Our relationships, our jobs, our careers, our family dynamics, our accomplishments. So all these things are being compiled in your story. Heaven is recording your life. And in there is some drama, there is some romance, there is some action, some comedy, and maybe even a little horror. I don't know. Whatever compiles your story here today. And so we circle back around today to where we began with the definition of truth. And the truth be told, God wants to be in every chapter of our lives. Do you understand that? He doesn't want you just to show up on Sunday to hang out with him. But he wants you to invite him to hang out with you in every day, in every moment, in every area of your life. So God wrote his law upon our hearts, and he reveals it in our actions. Do you understand that? We don't have stone tablets anymore. But they are written on flesh. They are written on our hearts. And because of that, it should be reflected in our actions. Church, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. And we need to get this right. We honestly do. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit's guidance. In the Bible, there is a scarlet thread of redemption that runs from Genesis to Revelation. It is a love story. It is a story of redemption. And as some said, it is the greatest story ever told. In a book, there are chapters. Chapters have a beginning and chapters have an ending. I know you're excited about this. I can see it on your faces. Some of you need to wake up. I'm heading to the finish line, so that should get you excited. In a book, chapters have a beginning and chapters have an ending. In those chapters, there are sentences. And we need to be aware that in those sentences, there are periods and commas. Don't put a period where God puts a comma. And sometimes we are good at that. We quit before he's finished. And don't put a comma where God puts a period. Sometimes we want to drag something on when God says, it's over, it's done. Some of the things we wrestle with in churches today is tradition. Sometimes it's time to put a period. Because God said, it's period. move on. Let's get rid of the comma. God is writing your book through the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Words make up sentences, sentences make up paragraphs, paragraphs make up pages, pages make up chapters, and chapters make up a book. And God is writing our story. And this is, I'm winding down, honest. And there is no second hand on the clock back there, so I have no idea what time it is. It fell off. Which I take as permission for God to say, take your time. But the questions that we want to answer here today is, how does your book read? Do you think anybody wants to read it? Maybe a better question is, do you think somebody needs to read it? And when we allow the Holy Spirit to write our book, people need to read that. People are going through some of the things that you went through. We live in a hurting world, a confused world, a messed up world. It's messy. But you have a story. You've been through some things. God has carried you. God has strengthened. God has provided. And they need to know that God. They need to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think somebody needs to read your story? They do. They do. Your book could be a page turner. How many have ever read a book like that? You keep reading and reading, and then you get to the end of the chapter. It's a cliffhanger. So you have to read the next chapter to see how it kind of ended. That's how our life should read in the lives of people. Or is our book kind of like where our Bible sits on the shelf with dust on it? The Holy Spirit has some exciting things to write in your book. I believe that with all my heart. And if you let Him, I believe we're living in Acts chapter 29. When we were in Bible college, that was kind of the thing they had, that if you were involved in the ministry of the church in our Bible college there, that they would recognize you and give you a lapel pin. You know what those are, right? But it had Acts 29 on it, meaning that's where we live today. The book of Acts is not over. It is what? The works of the Holy Spirit. It is the acts of the Holy Spirit. And how many know that the Holy Spirit is alive and well on planet Earth? And His church is alive and well as well. And He wants to operate through His church. I believe God wants to take us on an adventure. And last week we prayed for a group of individuals for you to pray for concerning our church's destiny, where we're going, planning a vision. And you better pray hard. You better pray hard, because we're praying that God takes us on an adventure. We are. We want to see some of these things that happen in the book of Acts happening in our church today. Instead of Peter or Paul, we want to see Bonnie, you know, we want to see Beth, we want to see Jim, you know, we want to see Libby, you know. We do. Not that we're looking to have our names written somewhere, but why not want to be in the middle of what God's doing? It is such a thrill to be used by God. It is exciting to lead somebody to the Lord. To see somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. To see somebody healed. I mean, these are great things. Just watching people grow up in the Lord. Watching their life transform before your eyes and being able to be part of that. Teachers, don't be discouraged. Hang in there. Stand tough. Because you're part of the process. And that's what we want to do. It's what we want to birth in our church. There's something so exciting that you're not going to want to sit there every Sunday and not be part of it. You know, it's good to hear God break into our service, the prophecy, the tongues interpretation. Those are great things. But wouldn't it be even cooler to do it out there? That when somebody comes to you and says, I'm not feeling well, you lay hands on them and boom. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you today, and Lord, I believe from the very beginning this service was orchestrated. We even heard you speak through your people today that, God, you want us to be free in the fact that, Lord, you want us to use us in any way possible that you choose to use. And the only way we can do that is if we're free in you. We thank you for the privilege of being your temple. I pray if you're here today and you're not with the Lord, or you're away from the Lord, or you never accepted the Lord, today is your opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you Lord of my life. I'm tired of writing my own story. I want you to write my story. Lord, I want to experience some of those things that I read in the Bible. I want them to become alive in me. It's available to all of us here today, to those who've never accepted Jesus Christ, and even for us as believers today who have just kind of allowed our feet to grow cold a little bit, get a little bit comfortable. And today, Lord, we just come and say, Lord, blow a fresh wind of fire through my life today. Holy Spirit, fill me once again. Lord, bring us to that place where we hunger and thirst after you. Lord, let us not be satisfied with the status quo. You told us, Lord, that we are to lift up a standard. Our standard is the Word of God. Our standard is the cross of Jesus Christ. Our standard is the testimony that we possess of what you've done in our life and are doing through our lives. Lord, we lift that up today. I pray today, Lord, if we have made decisions, God, contrary to the will of God, I pray, Lord, today that we will confess that today, Lord, and we will just put it under the blood today. And that we will begin to pray every day, Lord, use me. Holy Spirit, come alive in me today. I want to hear your voice. I want to follow your leading. I want to follow your guidance. I want to walk in the truth. That's our desire today, Lord. As we confess you as Lord of our lives, we ask, Lord, guide us. Take us to a place maybe we've never been before. Or maybe you've been to a place that you would like to get back to. Lord, take us back there to that place where we did truly love you with all that was within us. We rededicate ourselves to you here today. We surrender to you. We ask, Lord, that we see the green light. That, Lord, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Pray, church. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Ambore de site arabasondorobasiandarabasondorobasa. Oh Jesus, handoloroba komborobasa. Araraba
Hallelujah.
How will your story be written? Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody can write it for you. They can record it. Hallelujah. But allow the Holy Spirit to help you write it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Ushers, please. If you're given the missions and it's cash or something, write it on an envelope. We're just doing one offering here today. Mark it as such.
Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord, let this be the day that we become radical. As David danced, as he sang, that radical. As Christ drove the money changers out of the temple and said, this is my house, the house of prayer, radical. But he also wept over Jerusalem. Let us weep over the lost. Let us be radical. And Lord, let us use this offering for the glory of your name to reach those in our community that need to know you. They're hungering for something radical. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Keep Rachel in prayer as she's heading overseas for her missions. We laid hands on her and prayed over her, so we ask you that as she's there this week, kind of keep her in the forefront of her mind. If you're interested in being involved in the worship ministry in some capacity, we have some sign-up sheets up here. We want you to become involved in it. We want to expand it. We want you to be able to use your gift for the Lord and do that. So tonight, youth at 6. We have our dream team meeting at 6. So we're excited. All right. If you would, keep Randy's mother in prayer. She's 96. So keep Zane in prayer. Anybody else this morning as we close out? Fathers, as we close out this service today, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that you're an ever-present God, that you're everywhere at the same time. We thank you that, Lord, we just believe today, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher of life, Lord, that you are the beginning, the end, the Alpha, and the Omega, Father. And we do lift up Randy's mom to you today, Father. She's lived a full life, Lord. And we're just praying, Father, Lord, as they're keeping her comfortable, Lord. She's lived a full life, Lord. And, Lord, we just pray for a homecoming for her, Lord, that, Lord, will be without pain, will be out suffering, Lord. And we're just grateful, Lord, that we can lead and run this race knowing with assurance where our eternity lies. We pray for Zane, Lord. I believe he's in a nursing home, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will just minister to him, touch him, be with the family as they're walking through this process, Lord. He's also in his 90s, Lord, and he's lived a full life as well, Lord. And, Lord, he's in between leaving those behind and going home. And so that's the dilemma that, Lord, we all will face at that moment and that time, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that your hand will be in the midst of this situation, Lord, that your presence will be felt, your comfort will be there. And we pray in your name. We're grateful, Lord, for the songs today, Lord, bringing us to the place of the cross. That, Lord, we all have loved ones. We all have friends. We all have individuals that we know, Lord, that we want to see in the kingdom. And we pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you will have a concentrated effort to those that maybe have come to our mind as I'm praying this here today, Father God, that you will just reach out to them and touch them. Bring people into their path, Lord. Allow us to have opportunities maybe to speak of you to them, Father. And so, Lord, we're just praying for a harvest of souls, Lord. A harvest, Lord, that you said was white. We don't even have to pray for it because it's already there. Just give us eyes to see. Look up. And know, Lord, that you're in the midst of it, that you love them beyond the shadow of a doubt. We love you, Lord, and we just give you praise. Be with your people. Keep them, protect them. And again, Lord, challenge us, Lord, to keep in mind, Lord, that every day we're writing our story. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen.